Hey guys, welcome to The Adapt Effect. This is a podcast designed to give you an approachable take to help you grow in all things health, wellness, and fitness. I'm your host, Amber Dupree, and you are now listening to episode 6. On today's podcast, we're going to start a 3-part series all on nutrition, guys. So today will be part 1 of the 3 parts. And today we're going to cover everything you need to know about how to lose, gain, and maintain your weight. All right, guys, so let's jump right into it. I'm just going to break it down by saying that I think that this is one of the things in the fitness industry where a lot of people overcomplicate. They make it seem way, way, way harder than what it actually is, and it's not. So hopefully I can simplify a lot of those kind of myths, I'll say, for you guys in the fitness industry. At the end of this, I have a Q&A too. I've been posting on my Instagram story common questions you guys have in regards to nutrition. So at the end of that, I'll start answering those questions too. And throughout these 3-part series, I will have answered all those questions. So I'm kind of just correlating the questions with which goes best into which episode. All right. So how to lose, gain, and maintain weight. It literally comes down to something so simple as just be in a caloric deficit, a caloric surplus, or be at your maintenance level. Boom. That's it. That's all. All right, now, how do we know if we're in a deficit, a surplus, a maintenance level? How do you know that? Where do you start? Oh my God, Amber, you're making it sound so simple and I'm already confused. Chill out. Don't worry, guys. I got you. So there's 2 ways that you can do this. And one of them will be really easy if you have access to machines. And one of them will be not so easy, but still very easy and doable. It just takes a little bit longer and it takes some patience. But if you're in the fitness industry, you need to have patience regardless, right? So the first way I'm going to explain is it's going to be very, very, very accurate, and you're gonna have to have access to a body scan machine. Now, these body scan machines can be found at like nutrition shops. So I know Total Nutrition has them. Sometimes Complete Nutrition has them. Your local gym, Around the Clock Fitness, has them. I don't know about the other gyms because I don't work there, but most local gyms will have these body scans, and they will be able to tell you if they have them or not. So if you have access to one of them, all you have to do is go on, take the test, and you stand on this machine and it calibrates your feet, and it, like, you put your thumb on this handle and it sends all these electromagnetic waves throughout your body. But what it does, guys, is it tells you your skeletal muscle mass, it tells you your body fat, and it gives you this BMR number. Now, a BMR, what is that? All a BMR is it stands for basal metabolic rate. And now, what is that? That number is, so say it says your BMR, your basal metabolic rate, say it says it's 1700, right? Or 1500. So all that means, guys, is if you were to sit in a chair for 24 hours and not move, not get up, not go pee, not do nothing, that's going to be how many calories you burn in 24 hours, okay? So if you want to lose weight, you have to be in a deficit from that number. If you want to gain weight, you got to be in a surplus from that number. And if you want to maintain, that's your maintenance level, okay? So now I know a lot of you guys are saying, oh wait, I don't have one of those machines. I don't know where to get one. I don't know where to stop in, and I live in the middle of nowhere, and you know, I just don't have access. Okay, great, that's fine. I'm gonna walk you through how to find your maintenance level without that machine, okay? So all you need is patience, like I said, because this one's gonna take a little bit longer. So for 2 weeks, I want you guys to write down everything you eat. And when I say this, I don't want you changing anything. I don't want you saying, oh, now that I'm writing everything down, let me have an apple when I would normally have an Oreo. No, eat the Oreo. Do everything you would normally do, guys. Don't change anything yet. And this is very, 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 very important that you don't change anything, because I want to know where you're at. I want to know what your maintenance level is right now, how many calories you're eating, you know, to where you're not really gaining weight, you're not losing weight, but where your body is sitting at right now with its maintenance level. So don't change anything, just track everything. And by everything, I mean everything. If you had half an Oreo, track it, okay? And I'm not saying that you're gonna have to be tracking things for the rest of your life. You know, if you don't like tracking, if that's not how you function, that's fine, you don't need to. But for these 2 weeks, I'm gonna need you to do it, okay? It's for a greater good. So make sure you're being realistic with the proportions as well. So if you're tracking, say you're eating some nuts and you're tracking them and you track one serving size, make sure, guys, you're having that serving size and you're not going in for seconds and thirds. Or I don't care, go in for seconds and thirds, but just make sure you're tracking it, right? Do whatever you're normally doing, but be realistic with the tracking. That is very, very, very important, because if you're falsifying the data, then we're going to put you at a way lower maintenance level than you truly are, and that can affect everything, right? So just be real with yourself for 2 weeks. Write everything down, track everything, find out how many calories you're eating. At the end of that 2 weeks, what you're going to do, guys, is you're going to add up those 14 days. Once you add up those 14 days, you're then going to divide that big number that you got, you're going to divide that by 14. And that's going to tell you approximately how many calories is your maintenance level a day, right? So that number might be 1,500, it might be 1,700, it might be 2,800, it might be 3,100, it might be whatever, depending on your, you know, how much you eat and how much energy you need to sustain throughout the day. That's what that number is going to really tie into. All right, guys. So once you know that number, we're going to jump into how to lose, gain, and maintain. So now we have our maintenance level, whether you found it through a machine that told you your basal metabolic rate, or you found your maintenance level by adding everything up for 14 days and then subtracting it by 14. We now have our maintenance level, okay? So now what I want you to do, say you want to be in a caloric deficit. Say you want to lose weight. You need to be in a caloric deficit. So in order to do that, I think that this is largely where a lot of people mess up, because they go too much too fast and then it's not sustainable. So people, when they want to lose weight, what do? They start retracting calories and that's their deficit, right? Now that's great and all, but what happens when you start your fitness journey, right? So now you're subtracting, like say your BMR or your maintenance level is 1500 and you take 500 calories off because you want to be in a deficit. All right. Well, that's a very big deficit, because not only is it a huge caloric deficit you're taking off, 500 calories is a lot, guys, but now you also have to take into the fact of the matter is now you're working out too. So whether that's going for a 30-minute walk or whether that's going for a 30-minute workout at the gym, whatever that looks like to you, you're adding more physical activity. So that's also going to put you into even more of a deficit. So now we're restricting ourselves of 500 calories and we're burning, you know, 200 calories, 500 calories, 800 calories more on top of that. That's can be a 1,000 to 1,200 caloric deficit, guys. So what I like to preach to my clients and to really anyone who reaches out to me is find your maintenance level. Okay, that's great, right? That's step one. Step two, if you want to lose weight, is to not always jump into a nutritional deficit. And I think that a lot of fitness professionals will probably disagree with me on that. And that's okay, because they don't want people to depend solely on their workouts being their deficit. And I'm not saying you need to do that. However, I'm saying in the beginning, I think it's a really great way to start. So in the very beginning, when you're starting your fitness journey, just play around with your activity level and see how far that can get you. Right? So when you first start this, you want to be in a deficit. Instead of taking calories away from your diet, instead of restricting yourself, just see what your fitness level, your activity level can do. So now we're going to start walking for 30 minutes, or now we're going to go start strength training in the gym for 30 minutes, or now we're going to start rollerblading or whatever that looks like to you. Just add that activity, add a couple days a week, right? Just a few days a week. And you're going to see results, because that's already, you're moving more than you were before. And so that's, you're burning more calories than you were before. Therefore, it's a deficit, right? So start by just doing that. Once your body adapts, because it will, because again, I can't stress this enough on this show. That's why it's literally called the adapt effect. But your body's main function, guys, is to adapt and to find homeostasis. And it will do just that. So once it does that, now, okay, we have to be in a deficit even more, right? So there's a few things you can do now. So now that we saved you from restricting your calories right off the bat, now we have a couple options. We can add another day in the gym, guys. We can increase our intensity, lifting, working out, running, biking, whatever it looks like to you. Or now we can start pulling calories, right? But the main reason I really urge people not to pull calories and not to pull a lot of calories, especially in the beginning, is because, guys, you have to have somewhere to go. So think about it. If you're starting your fitness journey and you're like, I want to lose weight, I want to lose weight. My maintenance level is 1500 calories. I'm going to pull 400 or 500 calories. Okay, guys, so now you're training and you probably don't have enough fuel to get you through really great workouts. A is a huge problem. But now you're training and you are, how do I word this without sounding rude? But now you're training and you have to have somewhere to go. So if you pull 500 calories and you're only eating 1,000, where are you going to go from that, guys? Where are you going to, where's your next step? So your body's going to adapt from that 100%, because as we know, guys, that's your body's main function. So once your body adapts to only eating 1,000 calories, you have to do something else. So now we're pulling more calories, right? So now we're only eating 900 calories a day. And now we're increasing the intensity again. Before you know it, guys, it's going to be, you know, training 7 days in the gym, 7 days a week in the gym for 2 hours and doing, you know, hours of cardio and eating like 600-700 calories, which is literally insane. So that's not sustainable. So not to mention all the health risks that run with that, but also the mental instability you're gonna have, right? So that's not sustainable. So what are you gonna do once you're done restricting yourself? Hello, you're gonna do some type of binge eating, right? And I'm not saying that term loosely. I'm saying it because it's a very real thing, especially when it comes to people working out and starting their fitness journey and trying to get, you know, a grip on their weight. It turns into this yo-yo effect, and that's exactly what we're trying not to do. We don't want to have you lose a lot of weight just for you to gain it all back and then some. That's why it needs to be slow and steady, guys. So once you have, you know, my advice for you would be to start, like I said, with just being a deficit by adding more activity. Let that take your body as far as it possibly can until you completely do not see results anymore. Once your body has totally adapted from just increasing your activity, then you can start playing with your calories, right? But it has to be very slightly, guys. Try adding another day and maybe playing with your calories, you know, just slightly. Start by reducing them by 200, you know, nothing too drastic. That way your body always has somewhere to go. And so this is going to bring me into my next point of your body cannot always be in a caloric deficit. Your goal in fitness and your goal in life cannot always be to lose weight. Because if it is, it's going to set you up for failure, essentially. And now, whenever I talk to my clients and say, hey, I need you to come out of a deficit. We're going to go into either a maintenance level or a surplus. I know the reaction I'm going to get 8 out of 10 times. Their eyes get super big and they're petrified. They're horrified to go into a surplus. They're literally so scared because they're like, I'm gonna gain weight. I'm not gonna be happy with my body, yada, yada, yada. But it is so important for the long-term health benefits and overall aesthetics to be in a surplus, guys. So often, you know, we have these men and females who want to gain muscle, but they wanna lose weight. And they think they can do it at the same time, which I'm going to go into that later in this episode regardless. But we have the people who want to build muscle because the more skeletal muscle mass you have on you guys, remember that acronym we used earlier, the BMR? I think it's called an acronym. hopefully I'm right on that. But the BMR, what it stands for is basal metabolic rate. So remember how we were talking about that earlier? So the more skeletal muscle mass you have on you, the more lean muscle density, the more muscle you have on you, the higher that basal metabolic rate will go. And so what that means is the more calories you're going to be burning in a day-to-day basis without doing nothing. So by sitting on your butt, you're going to be burning more calories just by having more muscle on you. And that is the goal, guys. However, that's going to be extremely hard to achieve if at all, if you're in a caloric deficit constantly. So what we need to do is we need to get you into a caloric surplus. That way we can start putting on some lean muscle density on you. That way we can really start changing your body composition and really start, you know, ladies, growing glutes if you want to grow your glutes, growing your hamstrings, you know, all this toning bullshit I hear by, you know, doing 20 reps with 2-pound dumbbells that's doing nothing for you guys. You need to stop being scared to gain some muscle. Who cares about the scale? Who cares about what, you know, the scale says? I don't care if you go up 5 pounds. If that's 5 pounds of skeletal muscle mass, in my book, that's a freaking win, and it should be a win in your book too, guys. So, in order for a surplus to be properly performed, it's the same concept as a deficit, guys. So if you want to gain weight, or say you've been in a deficit for too long and you're like, okay, I need to come out of this because my body's adapted for far too long to a caloric deficit, so I need to start, you know, putting on that really good quality muscle. Or sometimes I have clients who have a really hard time gaining weight. You know, it's not always weight loss that we're trying to do in this fitness journey. Sometimes people really struggle with putting the weight on. So this is going to be that same concept, guys. So what I want you to do is, you know, same way you did with your BMR, find your maintenance level. Find your maintenance level by adding up all your calories and then dividing it by 14. But slowly start to increase your surplus too. This isn't something a lot of people are like, oh, I'm gaining weight now. That's my goal. I want to build muscle. So I'm going to overeat by like 2,000 calories. That's a sure way to put on a lot of extra fat, guys. And it's just not necessary. So a surplus isn't the time, or just like an off season for a bodybuilder. This isn't the time to chill out, to stop working out, to just eat whatever you want, and to just, you know, not track anything, and to just yada yada yada, not have a care in the world. This is your off season, basically, guys. This is when you really need to be putting in the work, if I'm being quite honest. That way you can use it to your benefit when it's your season, or when it's your time to shine, or when it's time for you to, you know, be in a maintenance level again, or to cut body fat again. This is the period of time when all that is gonna really determine how well your season goes, or determine how well you look once you start cutting off all this extra body fat, right? So being in a surplus, it's going to be the same advice I gave for a deficit. Slowly and surely, guys. Find your maintenance level. Start increasing gradually. Definitely start increasing gradually. So as you increase gradually, you'll notice, like, say you add 200 calories, you know, a week. To what you're normally eating. So say your maintenance level is 17, say now you're bumping it up to 19. You're paying attention to your body, you're seeing what works for you, what your energy levels are like. If it's more fats, you're adding more carbs, whatever that looks like to you. You're paying close attention to your body, right? So once your body adapts to that, you're building muscle because you have more energy in the gym, and now you're withstanding harder workouts, go ahead and bump it up again, guys. So it's different for everyone. I would say, you know, once you feel like your body has adapted and sustained and your energy levels have kind of leveled out, then go ahead and bump up another 200 calories. Don't be scared to bump the calories up, guys, because it's going to aid in building that muscle that you're trying to build. And if you're doing it slow and steady, you're not going to put on all these insane amounts of fat that everybody's really scared about, right? Let's see if there's anything else I want to talk about when it comes to a surplus. I think that's pretty much it. But when it comes to a maintenance, so this one's pretty simple, guys. It really does speak for itself. Whether it's your basal metabolic rate, that's 1700, or say you added up all your calories for, you know, 2 weeks and then divided it by 14, and that's 1700 for you. Find that maintenance level. And then tailor your workouts around it, right? So find workouts that help you keep your energy high, that challenge you in the gym, but aren't completely leaving you drained for days after. And just sit at that maintenance level. If you're happy or you're loving your body, or say, you know, other things are just a priority right now, and unfortunately the gym isn't, you know, number one on the list like it has been. There's nothing wrong with being in maintenance level. There's nothing wrong with not having aesthetic goals. As long as you're paying attention to your overall health, go ahead and sit in that maintenance level for a while and play around with your nutrition, play around with your training style, see what works for you, see what doesn't work for you. This is a really sweet spot to be able to kind of sit in and to really learn your body. So definitely take advantage of that too. So guys, now that we've covered deficit, surplus, and maintenance, I hope I covered that pretty well. I never really know until I roll these episodes back how well I did. So hopefully I covered everything I wanted to cover. But I want to start going into kind of like common questions I get asked. Like I said, I posted a Q&A on my work, on my story, and I did get really good feedback. So I just tailored the questions that I got that paired nicely with this episode. Okay. So one of the first questions and one of the most common questions I get is, do I need to count calories? I get that so much. And to that, I say, it depends. So it depends on what your goals are, first and foremost. And it depends on how serious you are about reaching those goals. So say your goals are purely aesthetic. And you're like, I really want to lose weight. I got to lose weight. I gotta do it. I gotta get down 10 pounds, or, you know, I gotta lose 5% body fat. And you're like gung ho. You're like, man, I have to do this because I know my why. My why is so important to me. So on and so forth. Then yeah, I'm gonna go and say, you need to get serious about it. You should probably start counting your calories and be real with yourself when you're counting your calories. Just, it is what it is. At the end of the day, if you want to gain weight, you need to be in a surplus. And if you want to lose weight, you need to be in a deficit. And a lot of us think that we can intuitively eat. And a lot of us think we can eyeball our calories. And I promise you, if you're eyeballing your calories, you're either over-exaggerating or under-exaggerating what you're truly eating. There's bodybuilders and people who have done this professionally for years and years and years who still have not completely crafted that skill. So I doubt Sally Joe that works at Arby's and has no nutritional background can eyeball calories and get it dead on every single time. So if you're one of those people who's very serious about their aesthetic goals, I'm gonna say yes, you should be counting your calories. Now, if you're someone who's like, you know what, I'm really just focused on my quality of life. I'm really just focused on my mental health. I'm focused on feeling good. I'm focused on reaping the benefits of exercise by reducing my stress levels, by getting better sleep at night, by increasing my energy levels. If that's you, then I would say you don't need to be totally gung-ho about counting calories. You know what I mean? If aesthetics aren't everything to you and you're really just worried about your overall health, then go ahead, intuitively eat. You know what I mean? Be mindful, definitely stick, you know, to foods that are gonna make you feel good. Pay attention to what makes you feel a certain way whenever you eat it. But yeah, eat to feel good, eat to fuel your body. And as long as you're doing it along those guidelines, I don't see anything wrong with it. Now, if you notice that you're gaining weight and you don't want to, or you notice you're not putting on muscle and you want to, then yeah, maybe you should start counting your calories to get to those aesthetic goals. But it largely just depends on where you are in your fitness journey, where you're at in your personal life with your mental health. All those things play a huge factor. So that one, it's not a yes or a no. I think it's case by case, 100%. Another thing I kind of want to go over is a lot of people will ask me, should I be counting macros? Should I be counting calories? What are macros? What are my macros? What macros should I be following? Help me with my macros. Macros, macros, macros. Everything macros. Simply put, guys, your macros are your proteins, your carbs, and your fat. These are the three main food groups, and they're what give you energy. And to that, I also just say, macronutrients are essential. So they're the essential things you need to perform daily functions and to feel great doing them, right? So just find something that's sustainable for you. When it comes to counting calories or tracking macros, I'm definitely going to say that you need to focus on calories first. If you're like really gung-ho about gaining weight or losing weight, the first and foremost thing you need to be doing is making sure you're either in a surplus or deficit from calories. Once you get that down pat, then go ahead and start playing around with your macros, which are your protein, carbs, and fats, like I said. But one thing I really want to point out is your macronutrient ratio does not directly influence weight loss or weight gain, okay? To lose weight, you really need to find a ratio that you can stick with. And I honestly just believe you need to be focusing on healthy foods. And to lose weight, you need to be eating fewer calories than what you burn. Now, to gain weight, it's the same concept, guys. You need to find a ratio you can stick with and just focus on eating those healthy foods with more calories than you burn. So it really does just go back to what we talked about in the very beginning. Now, when it comes to macronutrients, protein is a hot subject. So everybody's like, oh, I need to be eating 5,000 grams of protein to get big and strong, you know? And to that I say, there's a study that was done, and I learned this when I was getting certified. Your body needs, and this fact always just kind of stuck with me, because I think it's people over dramatize protein and how much you need. And at the end of the day, if you're eating too much protein and it's putting you into a caloric surplus, you're still going to be gaining weight. So just like anything, protein is still calories, guys. And if you're eating too much of it, you're still going to be gaining weight. So with that being said, the fact of the matter is your body needs a minimum of 0.36 grams. And that's for like a sedentary person. So that's the minimum that you need. But if you're more active and stuff like that, then of course, then you will need more. But the average healthy diet provides more than enough protein for people. So as long as the way I see it, guys, is when you eat, say you eat 3 meals a day, and you snack in between. Okay, the meals you eat, you need to make sure it has your food groups, your protein, your carbs, and your fats. Okay, as long as whatever, and if you're keto or low carb or whatever, one of those fad diets, I guess this doesn't pertain to you, but somebody who's trying to actively build muscle, and even if you're not trying to build muscle, you need to be having protein with whatever meals you're having. That way you can ensure that you are having that average healthy diet and that you are getting enough protein that you need in order to get to your aesthetic goals, right? So that kind of covers that. Another question that I get is, I loved this one. this guy had actually asked me, where is it? He goes, I thought it was hilarious, and I even messaged him back, and I'm like, wow, this is my favorite question ever. He goes, I want to lose weight, but I also want to look like Kai Greene. Do I eat in a deficit or do I calorie up? and I just love it because it's a real life question, you know? So to that, basically what that question is asking is, should you try to lose weight and build muscle at the same time? And most times I don't give you a general answer. I always say, well, it's different for everyone. To this, no, screw that. No, you shouldn't be trying to lose weight and build muscle at the same time. No, they're counteractive. You can argue with me, but they're counteractive 100%, guys. And honestly, just think about it. So we just went over caloric deficit and caloric surplus. So if you're trying to gain, what are you going to do? You're going to be in a caloric surplus. If you're trying to lose, what are you going to do? You're going to be in a caloric deficit. Those already go against each other. So how are you going to have a goal that you want to lose weight, you need to be in a caloric deficit? If you want to build muscle, you need to be in a caloric surplus. So how do those correlate? The fact of the matter is they don't. So your goals can't be polarizing if the equation is polarizing. And I don't know if that really made sense to you guys, but they don't correlate, so stop trying to make them. Pick one, sit in that process, go through the good, the bad, the ugly with it, and then hop on to the next one. Gain and then lose, or lose and then gain muscle, whatever way you want to do it. Stay in the lane and stop trying to merge these lanes. It's like people trying to merge like a freaking caterpillar with a donkey. It literally just does not go together. They shouldn't intertwine. They shouldn't reproduce, so stop trying to make them. Anyways, so this next one I got says, do you need to lift extra heavy to gain muscle? That's a good question too. You definitely need to be challenging yourself. So how it works is your muscle fibers, they tear, and I can't really say that word, they tear, and they rebuild themselves, which that's when, that's what causes muscle fibers to get bigger. Once they tear and they start rebuilding themselves, once they rebuild themselves, they get bigger, they grow, right? So once they get bigger, they can now generate more force. And this cannot be done if you're not challenging and stressing your body to some degree, right? So to answer your question, do you need to lift heavy to gain muscle? I don't think you need to be a power lifter and be deadlifting five times, six times, eight times your body weight. No, but you need to be challenging yourself in the gym 100%. And of course, and I preach this all the time, I'm very big on corrective exercise and form. So lift as much as you can with good form until you can't. And that's your answer right there. The next question I got, guys, says, can endurance training build muscle? Oh, man. So this basically means, for those of you who don't know the term, who didn't listen to my podcast before when I in-depth explain it, I'll go over it again because I know there's a lot of you. endurance training, that is more of an aerobic style of training. So that's when you're hitting like 12, 15, 20, 25 reps and rest periods are very short. So they're 30 seconds or less. Okay. So that's what endurance training means. That's what that word encompasses. So can endurance training build muscle? Endurance training will build muscle in your primary mover muscles. But this will only happen to people who are like lower on the totem pole for fitness levels. Or somebody who say they've had an injury and they've atrophied, right? You could build muscle with this aerobic style of training, which is endurance training, if you have low fitness standards or if you've had an injury or something like that where, you know, it took you out for a while and now you're rebuilding and relearning those functioning movements and you're rebuilding those muscle fibers, right? So in that sense, yes, it can strengthen your muscles. However, and trained athletes, you're not going to gain much muscle from this endurance type of training. You're just not. Muscles are modified according to the stress that your training is placing upon them. So endurance training stresses the nutrient availability and capacity to provide a long duration of series of contractions. So basically all that really means is this type of training, and I'm trying to like not say it in terms where you guys don't understand because I don't think you really got that last sentence. This type of training is good for a long duration training, right? So it will provide, it will stress your body, but not in the same sense that hypertrophy training is going to sense it, right? So hypertrophy, the results you're going to get from like that strength training from like doing 8 to 12 with like a minute rest, the results you're going to get from that is your muscles being challenged from the amount of force being produced, which then allows them to rebuild and grow. So when you're doing muscular endurance, you're not really stressing those muscle fibers. You're not really tearing those muscle fibers anymore. You're doing more of an aerobic form of training, and unless you're very low on that totem pole, like I said, for your fitness level or you're recovering from an injury, it's not going to stress those muscle fibers to tear them apart and to make them regrow. However, once you get into the hypertrophy type of training, the strength training, power training, all those things where you're taking longer rest periods and you're exerting more force, that's what's going to allow your muscle fibers to tear and then to rebuild and then to grow. So I hope that covered it for you guys. I know I said a few things that you might have been like, wait, what? What does that mean? So hopefully it dumbed it down, but it said it in like good general terms for you guys. But yeah, so the next question I get, we're just going to move it right along. The next question I get a lot is, where do I start? And I think that this is one thing that's really, again, over exaggerated and people just make it seem so much harder than it is. Guys, just start. That's what it comes down to. Now, when I'm doing my fitness assessments and starting with a new client, a lot of people are just so scared because they're like, oh my God, my life is about to suck. You're going to pull everything away from me. And the truth of the matter is, guys, I don't. If anything, I add. This is my period when we're first working together to add. I'm adding water. I'm adding fruits. I'm adding veggies. I'm adding whatever you're low on, wherever you're not getting those nutrients. Well, I'm filling those nutritional gaps right now. I'm not really pulling from you at all, right? We're adding a little bit of structure. We're adding a few more meals, maybe. Maybe you're not eating enough and that's your problem. So this is largely going to be the phase where we're adding. So don't be scared to start with a trainer too. And that could kind of be another series as well. But don't be scared to start and don't think that it has to be so restrictive right off the bat. Like I said earlier, it's slow and steady. So start where you are, start where you can, make small changes. If you're drinking no water, start by drinking 2 bottles of water. And to me, that's a small win. So it's not always about these really big wins. It's always about the small wins. If you're not moving around at all, go for a 30-minute walk a couple times a week. Again, another small win. You know what I mean? If you're just eating McDonald's 6 times a day and getting the worst possible thing on their menu, okay, try only eating it 5 times a day and add a home-cooked meal with your protein, carbs, and fats. Small win. You know what I mean, guys? So don't do too much at first because it won't be sustainable at that point, and it won't be something that could be a lifetime change. It won't be something that's a lifestyle for you, and that's the goal when it comes to health and fitness, 100%. So look for accountability too when it comes to where do you start. Always try to look for accountability. And for some people that's posting on social media, oh, gonna work out 3 times this week, homie, you know, like some people do that. Some people text their significant other. It's like, hey, I'm gonna go to the gym. Maybe your partner's really good at holding you accountable if you haven't yet learned how to hold yourself accountable. Whatever it looks like, maybe it's you writing in your journal, I did my workout. You write down your workouts every time you go, and that's a form of you holding yourself accountable and then posting them. I don't know. Find a way to hold yourself accountable. Maybe that's hiring a personal trainer. Maybe that's getting a workout buddy. Maybe whatever that looks like to you is start holding yourself accountable. That's a really, really good place to start because that's really hard to do. And also, once you're finding ways to hold yourself accountable, start building discipline. This is another thing that you have to get this in the beginning, guys. Accountability and discipline, you got to get it right off the gate. You got to get it right when you start, because if not, you're going to run into a lot of problems. And you're going to start gaining weight and then losing it, or losing weight and then gaining it all back. It's going to be this yo-yo effect. And if you can cut that stuff out right away in the beginning, you're going to save yourself a lot of heartache, a lot of trials and tribulations. So start building discipline. Go on the days you don't want to go. I have this saying, and I swear I live by it. The thing you want to do the least is always going to be the thing you need to do the most. So start building that discipline. On days you don't want to go to the gym, go. Start building that discipline. Have a piece of chocolate cake and then don't let yourself go back for seconds. You know what I mean? Just start small, start wherever you are, and start building those core values that are really important in the fitness industry. Not only that, but spend a good amount of time when you start building your foundation. And don't be scared to educate yourself. You know, look up YouTube, look up podcasts like mine, look up, you know, training advice on the internet. That's a free source, and there's a lot of really great information out there. Now, there's also a lot of really shitty information out there, so definitely, you know where and who to pull from and who to choose from. Maybe ask some of your fitness friends, you know, who has good content and who doesn't. But find that good content and start educating yourself. Learn form. Really take this time to learn form. Learn the basic movements, the squat, the deadlift, lunges, hip thrust, you know, chest press, you know, lat pull down. Learn these really good movements. That way you have a solid foundation and then start getting tricky with it. But anything and everything in the beginning does not need to be complicated, doesn't need to be hard. You don't need to be switching things up and doing these booty band blast, single leg, donkey kicks, kickback, hip thrust that, you know, Jamie Joe from Instagram said is the next best thing. You don't need to be doing all that crap right now. Just focus on your foundation. Aside from that, just become more aware of your eating patterns. I'm not saying you need to cut everything out. I'm not saying you need to add everything to it. I'm just saying be aware. Become aware. Just know what you're putting in your body. Pay attention to how much you're actually consuming. Be real with yourself. Track a few days. You might shock yourself. Say, hey, I'm only eating 900 calories when I thought I was eating like 3,000. Or, hey, I'm eating like 3,000 when I thought I was only eating 1,500. This is a really good point in your fitness journey to be real with yourself and to see where you're actually at. But yeah, so not only that, but I definitely think too that at this point in your fitness journey, it's kind of going to be how you set the tone too. So it's going to make it either a realistic thing or not a realistic thing. Now, a lot of people will tell you in the fitness industry that, oh my God, when I first started, I didn't know anything. And that is very true for the vast majority of us. But you're going to learn, you're going to fail, you're going to fuck up, guys. But never think that you can't get back on track. Never, ever, ever beat yourself up. Never, ever, ever let one thing turn into a downward spiral to where you just can't get out of it. Guys, I don't care if you fuck up for a day and you eat everything in sight, you eat 10,000 Oreos. That's one day, guys. You're not going to get to your progress in one day, and you're definitely not going to fucking ruin it in one day. So just get back on track. If there's nothing else you guys take from this podcast, don't be scared to mess up, quote unquote. And honestly, you really can't mess up because you can just always get right back on track. It's a journey for a reason, guys. That's why they call it a fitness journey. They're not out here, you know, us fitspos aren't saying, oh, look at my fitness destination. It's a journey. It's ever going. So you can't really mess it up. Just get back on track. Okay, guys, there were a few more questions, and I'm going to tie them into part two and part three of my nutrition series. So if you're listening and you know you asked a question based off of nutrition, don't think I'm not going to answer you. I promise I'm going to respond. It will just probably be in the later episodes, either two or three. But basically, I really want you guys to wrap up with the Q&A. Something I really want you to kind of get and to fully grasp is when it comes to losing weight or building muscle, you really do need to pick one. Like, you really do. When it comes to gaining weight or losing muscle, you need to do it slow and steady. You need to add calories slowly or drop calories slowly. It really comes down to that, guys. Being a surplus or deficit, again, all that means is finding your baseline, finding your basal metabolic rate, finding your maintenance level, and being either in a surplus from that number or a deficit from that number. Another thing I kind of want to touch on is a lot of people who are in a surplus right now who maybe want to focus on building muscle, that doesn't, and they're like worried about getting fluffy or anything of that nature. You guys, you can add cardio 100%. You can add cardio. It's going to be great for your heart and lungs and great for aerobic training. But just know, if you're adding calories or cardio, yeah, that's going to be more calories burned. But just know that too much cardio, if you're not fueling your body with enough fuel, i.e. calories, then you will start to pull from that muscle. So just kind of take that with a grain of salt too. Anything I said today, take with a grain of salt. I mean, listen to me if you want. Don't listen to me if you want. But whatever, it's your call. I can't force you to do any of it. But yeah, so I will be getting to the rest of those questions in my later episodes. That pretty much sums up the show. I want to give a huge thank you to all of you that took the time out of your day to learn, grow, and adapt with me. For more of me, go ahead and follow my personal IG at Amber Alert Fitness, where I post daily workouts, health and fitness tips, and just express myself. Now, guys, don't be scared. Don't be shy to subscribe to my podcast. I'm now on Apple Play. I'm on Spotify, Breaker, and Google Play. So subscribe, leave me a review, leave me a rating. Share this podcast with your friends if you like what I'm saying. Guys, we all know that we need good content out there when it comes to fitness. And we all know that this industry is very saturated. So it is kind of hard to get a message out there, especially if it's a good one. So share this, subscribe, rate, all that good stuff. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I really do appreciate each and every one of you who have shown me support since, you know, my first podcast, and hopefully I just continue to learn and grow and get better at podcasting for ya. Okay? All right, guys, love you. Have a great day.